Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The following is a presentation of the Belly Up Sports Media Network.
Here's what's cooking on today's Sports Stove Fantasy Baseball Show. We're going soul searching. What do we learn fantasy-wise about the Seoul Korea series? We've got Major League Baseball news to talk about, guys that didn't make the roster, guys that did make the roster. And in our closing segment, we get into waiver wire pickups, some guys to look at and keep an eye on as the season gets started. That's what's cooking on today's Sports Stove Fantasy Baseball Show.
Play ball!
Welcome in to an all-new edition of the Sports Stove Fantasy Baseball Show presented by BellyUpFantasySports.com, Righteous Felon Jerky, and SeatGeek. Coming to you, we are finally here. You can say that we've already had opening day. I disagree with you. Opening day coming up this week, which means all kinds of fantasy stuff to talk about, but I'm not going to do it alone. I am joined as I am every single week by the senior writer, fantasy writer for BellyUpFantasySports.com, the one and only Kevin Wilson. Hey, Kev, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. And how could you not be doing great at this time of year? When we're, I agree with you, opening day is Thursday, but even though my Dodgers played, and but you got baseball, getting ready to power up, you've got March Madness coming at you full throttle, and so it's a great time to be alive. So I'm looking forward to the show right here.
It is. You know, I've actually been looking forward to this episode really all week. We've got a lot of baseball news that happened this week. With baseball season officially starting on Thursday, I'm getting ready to pay for my subscription. I'm not doing the $150 thing, but I'm going to do $30 on MLB. I don't know why I'm promoting this. $30 on MLB TV, and I get the radio broadcast of all the games, along with minor league games, the big inning, which is kind of like the NFL Red Zone. And stuff like that too. So I'm going to do that. I can afford $30. So I'm going to do that. And it just got me excited. I watched a spring training game yesterday of the Brewers. And so I got to watch some of the Brewers playing there. I also tuned into a few other spring training games going on yesterday too. So I'm just ready for baseball season. You know, March Madness is on. I'm keeping track of it, but I don't have any horse in the race. So I've turned all my attention to baseball at this point. As many people who live in Lexington, Kentucky have done as well. But lots of things to talk about today. Lots of things to talk about today. Let's get things kicking with our fantasy burner segment. Our fantasy burner is presented by SeatGeek. SeatGeek.com is where you can go to get your tickets to your next baseball game, wherever that may be. And if you use the code BELLYUPSPORTS, you're going to get $20 off your first purchase. I actually need to get on there and check out the Brewers-Reds game, first one that's coming up. I need to check on that and see what we can do, get to a game. But nonetheless, SeatGeek.com, use the code BELLYUPSPORTS. For our fantasy burner segment, what I wanted to look at today was what we learned from the Seoul Korea series fantasy-wise. Out of the players who played Los Angeles and San Diego, who do we feel better about? Who do we feel worse about coming out of that series. We'll talk about the scandalous news in a little bit. So we'll stick to fantasy baseball at this point. So Kev, let me start with you, man. Who are you feeling better about after paying attention to what happened out in Seoul, Korea?
Well, I'm going to start off with the pitcher, Tyler Glasnow.
Okay.
Because neither you or I were exactly climbing the walls over him, because any pitcher that has 120 innings as his max is, to me, a problem. And so he's pitched well in the spring. And we saw what the Padres did on Thursday by racking up all those hits. But they only scored 2 runs in the game he was pitching. And so I know your dad drafted him.
Yeah.
And so he's excited about it. And so, and I said when he did draft him, I was already coming around a little bit at that point. And so, and he showed on Wednesday that he can be, we knew he could pitch well.
Right.
And so the only question we have about him is how long can he go? But right now, I'm feeling very much more confident. If I was drafting, if we were drafting today instead of last week, I would be looking at him as possibility as a pitcher you could build your staff around. Maybe, well, certainly not as high as some of the other guys, but I'm feeling much, much more, as even as a Dodger guy, much more comfortable with Tyler Glasnow than I was even a couple weeks ago.
That's interesting. He went 5 innings, 2 earned runs, 3 strikeouts, 4 walks, 10 fantasy points in the way that our league is set up. If he gets a decision, obviously that bumps up as well. Winning and losing pays pretty big dividends in our league as well. Yeah, I think, you know, for me with Glasnow, I expect him to be decent when he's pitching. The question is, how long will he pitch? But I'll tell you what, a guy that I have trending up right now is the guy that Glasnow throws to, Will Smith, catcher there for the Dodgers. Now, obviously, he was already one of the top tier catchers, but he wasn't a guy you looked at and thought, I've got to have him on my team. And he comes out and has a really solid, first series, 8 total fantasy points on the series, 1 for 4 in the first game, 4 for 6 in the second game. 2 RBIs and a run. We already like Smith. We haven't really talked negatively about Smith, but we also didn't really pump him up this year either. I think we both had him top 3 catchers probably.
Yeah, I had him top 2.
Okay. Yeah. So up there, I just feel better. Will Smith is a guy who's going to get plenty of at-bats this year, and seeing him start the season off like he did in Korea, I see him as trending upward as well. Another guy that we talked about a lot in our rankings, but I just feel better about Xander Bogaerts.
Bogaerts, I was going to bring him up as well.
Okay, so Bogaerts comes into this. We were just kind of questioning which Xander are we going to get this year. Is he going to be in the best form that he was in Boston? Is he going to be whatever he might be? He ends up putting up 9 points over 2 games. He had, 4 for 9. 3 runs, 3 RBIs in the series as well. He was drafted number 91 in our league, and I feel like he's trending towards a better draft position than that at the very least. I like what I saw.
If you're drafting today, don't let Xander Bogaerts fall to, what was it you said, 91?
Yeah.
Don't let that happen. I liked him better as a second baseman than as a shortstop. But he's going to have second base and shortstop.
Right.
And you have to like what you had saw out of him. And there was – when I put out my tiers, I had Ha-Seong Kim ranked over him. And there was a Reddit reader who was more than happy to point out to me that his guy was what you just mentioned, 4 for 7 or whatever it was in the series. And my guy was 1 for 7. And my guy's winning and all that. But let's not start cashing in chips just yet on that score. But I feel much better, as you said, about Xander Bogaerts. And it's only 2 games, but I like how he's swinging the bat. I like the position that he's batting in that batting order.
Yeah.
And so the arrows are pointing way, way up on him. And I would have certainly have drafted him way, you know, earlier than I let whoever 91 was that got him. You've got a steal right here. So I'm feeling much better about Xander Bogaerts.
I've got one more guy trending upward that I like more after the two games in Seoul than I liked before. He was drafted 146th in our league, and that's first base, second base from San Diego, Jake Cronenworth. Okay. He's only owned in 60% of leagues, by the way, and I think he would be worth picking up if you've already drafted and he's available in your league. Because, again, first base and second base, it's nice to have those spots. Now, granted, game one, he went 0 for 4, negative 2 points in that game. Game two, he went 4 for 4, 2 runs, 4 RBIs, 13 total points in that game. I like Cronenworth anyhow, but he's a guy that I drafted in one league. No, I picked him up in one league after the draft because I had guys that I could move to the injured list and everything. The problem was is the waiver claim came through at midnight, and his game tipped off at what? 4 o'clock in the morning or whatever.
5:05 here. Yeah,
I did not get him into my lineup. So I did not get the 13 points that he offered or the categories.
Right to the stomach when that happened.
Yeah, but I like what he did in that second game, and I think he continues to show he has value. And I don't think he should be sitting on a waiver wire. I think he should be on a roster.
I certainly agree with that. So the last player I'm going to mention is somebody that I did pick up before the series began, and that's Gavin Lux.
Okay. And, you're looking up for Gavin Lux.
Yes, I am. Way up on him. He's only still at 22% rostered, but not in our league. He's 100% rostered. And I went out and got him, and because I looked after the draft that I had, and I'm like, I'm weak up the middle. Hmm. And so I went ahead and cut Griffin Kanan because who knows when he's going to pitch. And I picked up Gavin Lux, and not much to talk about the first game. But the second game, he got out there. He scored a couple runs, had a couple hits. And so that second base and outfield is almost, you know, right behind shortstop outfield. So I was thinking when I did that, I'll get him for this series. But I'm thinking that he's going to stay on my roster for a long time. So I'm way, way higher on Gavin Lux than on draft day. Because he was not claimed at all in our league. But he, yeah, like I said, I got him now.
I'm actually surprised by that. I almost put him on my trending down section. I did not put him there because he's only owned in 21.7% of leagues. And I thought, well, you can't really trend down from that. So I'll leave that one be. I don't know. I guess I disagree with you a little bit. I had high hopes for him, and I think he still could obviously come back to form. He had the whole year off, and he's going to be a little rusty to get things started. 2 for 10 between the two games. Again, 0 for 5 the first game. Looked a lot better in game two as well. So intriguing, though. But no negative points this week, by the way. Yeah, yep, he still had one point in the first game that he went 0 for 5.
And so that one point is looming big to me. So I like him. I'm going to keep him on my roster. And, you know, anyone that's a Dodger, you know, in that lineup, and he doesn't appear to have the same issues. That's why he's a second baseman now anyway. Because he couldn't make the throw from short, but
right now
he's doing it from second. And as long as he can stay there and play defensively well, then he's going to stay in that lineup, and I like that a lot.
All right, so let's talk about guys we're trending down on. Do we both have a Los Angeles Dodger pitcher on this list?
We certainly do.
Okay, let's talk about Yoshinobu Yamamoto.
Okay, here. I'm glad you mentioned his first name.
Right. One inning. 4 hits, 5 earned runs, 1 walk, 2 strikeouts, negative 11 on the day.
And he's the negative 12 in the other ESPN league that I'm in. So I'm not sure where that extra negative point comes from. But in any case, it's bad.
How do we feel about Yamamoto?
Well, once again, you and I were not really convinced about him. And I thought that he was going in an area where there were much more established pitchers that you could count on. Mm-hmm. And that's what I did. And I had no intention of, I don't know if you can drastically downcut somebody that you weren't high on to begin with, but So I'm glad I didn't pick him.
Yeah.
But then you've got the issue because, unlike Tyler Glasnow, he's not looked good in spring.
Right.
Then we saw what happened on Thursday where he got blowed up like a, you know, beach ball that had too much air in it. And so it's not time to panic, of course, but if I had drafted him, I would be very concerned about Mr. Yamamoto and how things are going to go from here.
And he was drafted 34th in our league.
That's way too high, and there's no value. He better be a Cy Young candidate to give you value at that spot, and I don't see that happen.
Yeah, I mean, at 34, now again, do we think he's going to throw out negative 11 every game? No.
No.
Give him some time to adjust and all that kind of stuff. I'm sure he'll be okay. I'm just not sure he's going to be a top of your fantasy rotation okay when it's all said and done. And I was worried about that. A lot of hype following off of Shohei's coattails, where Shohei was it. And, you know, man, that's just a lot of pressure on somebody. And, Yamamoto did not look good. I will drop him down a bit as well. I don't think that he needs to be dropped off your roster if you draft him.
No.
But you're probably having some regret right now that you drafted him where you drafted him.
Yeah, don't overreact.
Right.
But
on any of these guys. Yeah.
I wake up at 5 here to get ready for my day. And I put on the TV on, you know, and there it is. Dodgers Padres live. And if you watched him, you didn't like the way that he looked, not just the way, but his look, right? He looked like he was shell-shocked, and he looked like he was bewildered. And that's not what you want out of your, you know, presumably your number two pitcher.
Yeah.
And so I'm concerned about it, and even more so because I'm a Dodger guy. But if I had drafted him, I would be really concerned right now.
Yeah. All right, let's go to somebody else. Let me throw out James Outman, the outfielder for the Dodgers. He's only owned in 38% of leagues, so I won't waste a whole lot of time on him. He was 0-6. He did, again, positive fantasy points, but that's going to come back to bite you. You got to put the bat to ball. And he wasn't going high in our league. He was added via free agency by Kevin Wilson. So he didn't get drafted in our league. But I know last year he had moments of good fantasy relevance. And I'm not in on James Outman right now.
Well, I picked him up because he was playing. And so,
you're trying to get those extra points.
Chase, you know, he had some guys in that series. And so I knew I was going to need to get something. So I picked up Outman. I'm certainly not here to jump up and down about it. But he's just outfield, and there are certainly better outfield options than him. But I just picked him up. I did get, as you mentioned, positive points from him. But I'm not ready to, erect, a shrine to him or anything like that. So he's certainly not the guy that I'm going to be,
He'll be part of that roster turnover.
That's right. That happens with me. I'll be, turning over 100 and probably 19 players before it's all said and done. But probably you could be sure he'll be one of them.
All right. Who else do you have trending down after this week?
Trending down, I've got Ha Sung Kim. As I mentioned, unfortunately, I've attached my wagon to him on Reddit. And was only read by about 16,000 people. So it's not like I can run and hide from this, but he did not look good at all. And 7,000 Padre hits, and he wasn't head and shoulders. And no, he was not one of them that did that. And so I'm not saying drop him, of course, but if you're drafting today, you might want to put the brakes on Ha Sung Kim. That's all I'll say about that.
Yeah, he's on my list too. 0-7 on the week. He was drafted 114th in our league. So again, that's value's fine there. He's got that second base, third base, shortstop eligibility. Made us high on him. We talked about him and all of those rankings. At the end of the day, though, I don't feel near as good about Ha Sung Kim as I did last week. And I'm not sure. I don't have him. I don't think I have him on any of my teams. I'm in four leagues this year. I don't have him either.
Somebody else jumped up and got him before I got a chance. And so that worked out well for me.
Yeah. Now, again, Kevin already said this. Don't jump to major conclusions off of two games. Give it some time. But definitely just the way that we're feeling about these players, we're higher on some than we were, and we're lower on some than we were as well. Let's talk real quick, though, about Yamamoto one more time. I mean, how many more games does he have to perform this way before we label him a bust? Because I don't think we can label him a bust just yet. It's just one game.
No, it's one game, as you said. And I would say I'm going to give him two more starts.
Okay.
Two more starts. And if he's at negative 11 or even negative at all.
Right. If he's not double digits.
Right. If he's, yeah, that's right. If he's not at 12, you know, or something like that, we're not talking about he's got to give us 40 plus, you know, or any of that stuff. But if he is not in the teens by his third start, Busville all over the place.
Yeah, I probably give him four starts total, so three more starts. If he doesn't hit double digits in that time, then I'm letting him go. I'll probably try to trade him first, but then he would be on the waiver wire for anybody who wants him at that point. So, all right. Hey, that's it for our fantasy.
Hopefully, it's not happening because
okay. reminder: go visit SeatGeek.com for all your ticket needs. Use code BellyUpSports for $20 off your purchase. It's time for our second segment of the night: the call to the pin. The call to the pin is presented by Righteous Felon Jerky. It's time to join the flavor revolution, and you can do it at righteousfelon.com. There's no better snack while you're listening or watching to a baseball game than beef jerky. And Righteous Felon has all kinds of flavors for you to enjoy. Go to righteousfelon.com, find your new favorite flavor, and use the code STOVE15 at checkout. STOVE15. You're going to get 15%. That's right, a whole 15% off your purchase. Every time you check out at righteousfelon.com. All right, okay,
before we get a question for you, man. So you're talking about Righteous Felon Jerky, which is excellent, by the way, but Righteous Felon Jerky and popcorn. Is that a weird combination?
No, I can see that fitting.
Okay. All right. So we're on the same wavelength. That's something that, you know, that's outstanding to do. So just a little recommendation for you out there. Righteous Felon Jerky and popcorn.
And popcorn mix it up a little bit. Yes, all right, sir. Very good. Let's talk about the news of the week, and let's start with the Shohei Ohtani news. His best friend has robbed him of $450 million or something like that, supposedly in gambling debts and getting them paid off. Shohei had no idea, supposedly. The law enforcement's involved with all of this now as well. The Dodgers fire him. I was posed the question, and it was brought up to this idea. If this was Trevor Bauer, how would the Major League Baseball be handling it versus it being Shohei Ohtani? And the reality is Major League Baseball is not touching Shohei Ohtani for anything. And I don't know what you think. You think Shohei's somewhere hiding something, or do you think this is all on his interpreter?
Well, he's going to speak publicly about it tomorrow, I saw today. So we'll get hopefully some definitive answers. I've seen where he has been compared to Pete Rose. I think that's way over the top. And what to me is probably the more likely thing that happened is this guy, you know, was paid by Shohei, you know, paid him, or Dodgers paid, or whoever paid him. And he incurred all these gambling debts. And then Shohei Ohtani stepped in and paid those debts. And if that is, in fact, what happened, a crime has been committed. And so we will see, you know, the feds are involved. Baseball may not want to touch them, but with the feds involved, they may not have any choice here. And I saw what Brent, you know, had a show on yesterday, and he was talking about there's something that smells, and I think it's pretty smelly myself. But as long as he didn't, you know, give him money with the he was going to place bets for Shohei. I think he's going to come out of this okay.
Yeah.
And I don't know how in the world you could prove that that's what happened, even if it did happen in the first place. So I think he's going to come out of this okay. But there's some the story about how the guy stole $4.5 million, that's not washing at all. All right. It's not like, he took $40 out of his account or something like
right.
that. And I know he's got way more money and all that, but it's got to sound. There was one time where I went to a store and it was supposed to be $41.71, something like that. And then they made a mistake and it was $417.71. And before I even left the store, I've got an alert saying, hey, did you authorize this? No, I did not. So I was able to turn right back around and have them straighten it out before I walked out of the store.
Yeah.
And if we're talking $4.5 million, I don't know how in the world this could have happened.
Yeah. Again, I don't think, I saw the report where they talked to former teammates of Shohei's, and they all said Shohei did not care about any other sport. So he wasn't gambling on other sports. They don't think he was gambling on other sports. It doesn't make any sense for him to have done that. How much did he know? Is his interpreter just fallen on the sword, or is he legit just absolutely, robbing Shohei? Like you said, I think it's hard. It's hard to be missing $4.5 million and not know it. That being said, Shohei's an odd duck, right? I mean, he deferred pretty much all of his contract. He got married. No one knew anything about it. He's a secretive guy.
And they were booing his wife. I don't know if you saw that while they were over there.
Yeah.
So I don't understand what that was all about, but, it's not Roseville for Shohei Ohtani right now.
Yeah. Like I said, I think Major League Baseball is going to do everything they can to protect him as well. So I think he comes out of this clean and he probably is. I mean, I'm not saying he's not clean, so I'll be careful in going that far, but nonetheless, we'll keep an eye on what's going on with the Shohei news.
Yeah. He's not Pete Rose. Okay. So
if you
can please stop the rhetoric.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
That'd be nice. All right, let's talk about guys who made or did not make opening day rosters. Mainly, let's start with Jackson Holliday. The Orioles chose to send him down, saying he really hasn't faced the top-tier pitching yet. We'd like him to see some more higher-end pitching in AAA before we bring him up. They basically said, we know what we're doing. We've been very successful at it with these young guys. We know what's best for him. We know what's best for us, and this is why we sent him down to AAA. But I will tell you, I listened to a lot of people that are professionals that follow Major League Baseball that said, I am really, really surprised that a kid who's batting well over 300 in spring training did not make the opening day roster.
After they won 100 games, I guess you got to give them a little, little leeway there.
Yeah.
But as you mentioned, where is he going to face better pitchers than in spring training? Okay, yeah. Where he was actually facing major league pitching, as you mentioned, he was hitting over 300. And until they sent him down, I saw Fantasy Pros sends me an email about players you want to pick up, of which Jackson Holliday was one of them because he was hitting over 300. So you definitely want to draft this guy. Well, the next day he was sent to the minor.
Yeah.
So I'm not exactly sure what to make out of this. He seems like a guy you need on your roster, and you've got the opening in your at second, so why not? I'm not sure I'm getting this.
Yeah, who is better than Jackson Holliday that's going to play that position? And I don't think you can answer that honestly.
No, I'd have to go to the Orioles roster to pull. I have no idea who their starting second baseman is, and wouldn't matter to me if I did know. So he's not going to be on my roster. You can be sure about that.
I was surprised by it. Now, I drafted Holliday in four leagues. I'm in four leagues. I drafted Holliday in all four of those leagues. Some I took earlier. Some I waited and took later. Knowing there was a possibility that he wouldn't make the opening day roster, I still feel confident that within a month or month and a half, he'll be back up. And so I'm going to hold on to him in all four leagues. I'm just going to have him taking up a roster spot for me. And I'm going to do it and be fine with it. Now, if I get to July and he's not called up yet, well, then I'm going to be probably kicking myself. But at this point, I don't think it's going to be that way. I think you get him a month to 6 weeks into the season, and he gets called up. I mean, between injuries alone, the chances of him getting called up are high. So I like the idea that I have him on my roster. One of those is a keeper league, so I've got him for the rest of my life if I want him. And I think he'll be fine. I'm still surprised by it, and yeah. I'm not sure. Again, the Orioles have done well with young talent, and they've won with young talent. So yeah, I guess you got to give them a little bit of okay. They know what they're doing, but and this seems really weird as well. So, but I mean, again, you bring them up in 2 weeks, and the fanfare goes nuts again. So maybe it's a publicity stunt. I don't know.
Right. You just want to make, if that's what's happening here, you want to make sure that does, you know, your the season can start to get away from you really, really quickly. So, and even though they won 100 games, AL East is not an easy division. And so,
no, it's not.
You know, and so you don't, you can't play around.
Right.
And if he deserves to be on the major league roster, get him on the major league roster. They don't have the thing where, you know, they had to miss a month or whatever so that they kept their service time intact or whatever. That's all out the window now. So if he deserves a spot, get him on the roster.
I'm guessing their AAA tickets sales went up very quickly. So maybe that's what they needed, a boost at the AAA level ticket-wise. Who knows? Two guys who did make the opening day roster, though, would be the Texas Rangers, Wyatt Langford, and the Milwaukee Brewers, Jackson Chourio. Both of those guys are dynamic young players, and both of them are going to get a lot of playing time here early on. Jackson Chourio, he made it on a team or two of mine. He made it in every league that I'm in. He was drafted. And then Wyatt Langford's a guy I looked at. I did not draft, I don't believe, at all in my drafts, but I definitely was looking at him as well. I like both of those guys fantasy value-wise, and I think they're both getting a great opportunity in the places where they are.
Especially, you know, Langford, because he's in a Texas Ranger team that can smack the ball.
Yeah.
And so he's going to be either the outfield or he's going to be at the DH position. So if he hits the ball, he'll be in the lineup every day. So he's young. So you don't have to worry about him missing games, or he's not going to be one of those, you know, guys, what do you call that? The guys that move around and get plugged in. Platoon guys. He's not going to be that. And Chourio's not either.
Right.
And I thought rather convincingly, as I'm sure you did, that, you know, you're a Milwaukee guy, that he was going to be on that roster pretty much, unless he, you know, hit 102 or whatever in spring training.
Right.
Which he obviously did not do. So I like him. I like Langford better because of the lineup he's in. But if you got Chourio on your team, you got to be pretty happy.
Yeah, I'm interested to see ultimately where he ends up in the Milwaukee lineup. He has the potential to lead off some games, which is a great opportunity, of course. But they'll move him around a little bit. The thing that really helped out seal this deal was the Sal Frelick move to third base. The manager announced that they're going to have Frelick as the third base against lefties to keep the bats in the lineup where they can have a heavy left-handed lineup. And then he'll play outfield against righties or sometimes get the day off. But he's going to be on the field a lot. Well, that opens up an outfield spot for Jackson Chourio. They've got Garrett Mitchell out there as well. Of course, Christian Yelich there too. So, I mean, I know most people could care less about the Milwaukee Brewers. The biggest battle they have right now is at catcher. They've got a starting catcher, but they've got two backup catchers, Gary Sanchez and Haas. And Sanchez is a horrible defensive catcher. Haas has been raking here in he was, what, at Detroit before? And he's been raking in spring training.
Right.
And now the question is do they keep three catchers? I mean, the thought was Gary Sanchez would be a DH. So do they end up keeping Haas up as a third catcher and seeing him maybe take innings behind the plate and keeping Sanchez just a DH, or does Sanchez even make the team? Who knows? We'll find all that out pretty soon, but most people don't care about Milwaukee, so I won't go on and on about that. Milwaukee Rangers solidified their rotation, signing superstar starting pitcher Michael Lorenzen, well, maybe that's a little bit overblown, but I actually like Lorenzen.
Last year.
I like Lorenzen, and I like the signing for the Rangers.
Yeah. I do, too. And he's a guy that they can have him in rotation. But right now, it looks like you don't want him on your roster just now. Okay?
Agreed. Because
what they're going to do with him, is he's going to be their long relief pitcher out of the pen.
Okay.
They've got their starters right now, of which he is not one of them. Hmm. Okay. And so that certainly could change. Bradford is their number five starting pitcher who doesn't have a lot of experience. So he could get blown up pretty, you know, they want him to be the long guy in the bullpen to start with. And, but they've already said that, you know, he made the roster, he made the rotation. That's the way it's going to stay for the time being. Until all that shakes out, I wouldn't be rushing over there to hit up on Lorenzen just yet.
Montgomery's still sitting out there, not on the team.
Yep. You know, Martinez just signed with the Mets. And so Jordan Montgomery is the only guy left of any real consequence.
Yeah.
And the season starts in 4 days.
Right.
And so if you happen to draft him onto your team, you've got to feel pretty rickety about the situation because we all thought he'd be in camp by now somewhere. Yes. And I saw earlier that the Yankees have reached out again to him. And with Gerrit Cole news about the 2 months and all that, and their starting pitching wasn't overwhelming to me to begin with. So if you're the Yankees, I don't understand why you're not getting this done. And if you're over there, you're the super agent, Mr. Scott Boras, then you're not getting the deal that you wanted. You didn't get any deals that you wanted this whole winter.
Yeah.
So, but you need to get your guy in camp because if, let's say, you don't want a guy that's held out for 2 months, right?
Right.
What if he doesn't pitch at all this year? If you're a team, what do you want for him now? So he needs to get this done to me
right
quickly.
I mean, he's looking for the Blake Snell contract, something that's going to get him paid this year with an option to leave next year. And I'm shocked. I'm shocked he's not somewhere. I'm shocked he's not on a roster. I'm shocked that he doesn't have somewhere to be. I mean, it just blows my mind that we're here and he still is. I have him in one league, and I don't know how long I'll hang on to him. Like, I'm sitting here going, I just don't know that I can have this guy sitting on. Now, you would like to think by Thursday he signs, but he's still not going to be on the field for at least 2 weeks.
Right.
I mean,
not like he's going to sign Thursday and pitch, you know, Saturday or anything like that. So,
yeah.
It's not encouraging all the way around because I like him. I like him better than Snell. I always, you know, this whole winter, I've liked him better than Snell. He's younger. And he pitched well in the postseason. You know, I saw that close up because he pitched for the Rangers. But you got to be off of him until he signs. That's the way I look at that.
You mentioned J.D. Martinez signs with the Mets. I'm not blown away by it. I don't think it's bad to take a chance on him. But I'm not in the J.D. Martinez cheer camp. I don't think he's going to give you a whole lot if you're the Mets. But I don't think he's going to hurt you a ton either. So I think it's a low risk, low reward kind of signing there for J.D. Martinez and the Mets.
And his fact that he can't play in position,
right,
certainly hurt him. And and even though he's on the Mets now, that hurts him in fantasy to me as well.
Yeah,
because if you don't have a DH slot, we do. But if you don't have that in your league, what are you going to do with him? Your utility is all you can put him in. And what if he starts slow?
Right. I don't want anything to do with him right now, fantasy wise. I want to wait and see what happens. willing to take the risk
no,
of him.
No, no. I like to, I would rather see him somewhere else than the Mets. But I think that he's on a team at least.
Yeah.
And he did hit 30 homers, 100 RBIs, so he can still swing the bat.
Yeah.
And good luck to him.
All right, that's our call to the pen, presented by Righteous Felon Jerky. Go to righteousfelon.com. Use the code STOVE15 to get 15% off your purchase. Let's head into the final segment of the day, our fantasy focus. Our fantasy focus is presented by BellyUpFantasySports.com, your one-stop shop for all things fantasy with articles on fantasy football, fantasy baseball, fantasy basketball, fantasy hockey, fantasy everything you can possibly think of. And it's, of course, the place where you can find all of Kevin Wilson's articles as well. This is the segment we'll use all throughout the season for ads and drops when it comes to waiver wire pickups. But since we really haven't had much of a baseball season just yet, we decided to look at waiver wire prospects to go ahead and put a flag on and keep an eye on throughout the season that we think is going to be worth picking up at some point during the year, not necessarily this week. Although my first one is a guy that I think you could definitely pick up this week, Kevin. So I'm going to start us off. We talked about him before we came on live, San Diego Padres, Jackson Merrill. He is currently owned in 19.2% of leagues. He's listed as a shortstop, but he's the everyday center fielder for San Diego. I snagged him up in a couple leagues and actually drafted him with my last pick in one draft. Picked him up in a waiver wire on another league. And because he's going to get that center field eligibility here real soon as well, I think you're fair to go ahead and go get him now versus waiting on him too much longer.
I agree with that, and I was on to him as soon as I saw that he was, in fact, the Padres' opening day center fielder. And we've talked about Jackson's up and down all over the place, but him, we didn't talk about him. Right. And but he's the only guy out of this, all these Jacksons, and you know, I don't know how people all of a sudden are being named Jackson all over the place, but as you mentioned, at shortstop and an outfield, that is extraordinarily difficult, you know, to better.
Right.
Because you could put him at shortstop, you could put him at shortstop second, you could put him in the outfield, you could put him in the utility spot. So there's a lot of value here. And like you beat me to him. And I wouldn't, you know, climb too much because everybody in the Padres uniform had hits in that last game against the Dodgers, but he did have two hits and two runs scored.
Yeah.
So I was certain because I looked at my draft, as I mentioned to you before we came on air, and up the middle for my team is not looking all that strong to me. So I thought, wow, a shortstop outfield, if he can hit the major league pitching, it's somebody that you need to look at. But you beat me to him, as I mentioned. And so
I was fortunate.
I hope it works out for you because I'm really excited about him.
Yeah, I was fortunate. I was in a draft and I was looking at my roster and I was like, I could really use another shortstop. So I pulled up the shortstops. We were coming down to the end of the draft and I saw Jackson Merrill and I'd seen him around. I've been in a couple drafts before this one. And I was like, let's do some research on Jackson Merrill real quick. I got a little bit of time before my pick. So I started researching Jackson Merrill and saw everyday center fielder. And I said, I want Jackson Merrill on my team. So I went and drafted him in that league. Like I said, I picked him up in our league immediately after the draft. I claimed him. And then I think I have him in another league as well. So I love the versatility he's going to get. And right now he's available in a lot of leagues. So now's the time to go get him for sure.
But don't wait too long because he's gone up 14, last I looked, 14.5% in the last 3 days. So if you want him, don't wait too much longer because he's going to be gone.
All right, let's talk about some guys that we're looking ahead to that say, hey, you need to keep an eye on this guy because at some point during the season, I think he's going to be worth picking up.
Okay, so you went with the untested rookie. I'm going with the tested veteran as my first choice here, also a shortstop. And that's Trevor Story of the Boston Red Sox, who is at 22.2% rostered right now. And we're talking about it, and he's healthy. And he's looked well in the spring. Yes. And he's a guy that could we're not going overboard about Boston right now, okay? So, but if you were Trevor Story, he's got the ability to give you 20 homers, 20 stolen bases. And so I really like what he can do. And if he's healthy, he's a guy that at shortstop, that can really help a team out. And so I'm looking for him to be on the opening roster and really playing well. So he won't be at 22% roster very long, but I'm not making a move just yet. But definitely keep your eyes on Trevor Story.
I like that one. I'm going to go back to another young guy in the middle infield, shortstop, second base eligible. He's only owned in 0.9% of leagues right now.
Okay.
So you don't need to rush out to get him, but keep an eye on him. And it's the Arizona Diamondbacks, Geraldo Perdomo. Okay. He's on a really good team that has had success with young players. They've got plenty of young guys. They have a solid mix of young guys and veterans on that team right now. Perdomo's going to be the starting shortstop. So he's going to have opportunity. It's just whether or not he makes the most of that opportunity. So I think he's a guy to keep an eye on. I like the young guys in Arizona, and I think you add Perdomo to that list and see what he can do this year. And he's has some experience under his belt, not a whole lot of it. And so I like what's ahead, I think, for him.
Okay. I like that a lot. And so I'm going to go to a guy because, as you mentioned, right after the draft, you said, Kevin, you don't have any positional variance here on your team. So there's a guy right here that I'm going to mention, the shortstop, third base, outfield, DH.
Ooh.
And he's about to get first base because Nathaniel Lowe is starting the season on the IL. And, of course, I'm talking about Ezekiel Duran of the Texas Rangers. Okay, and even though Corey Seager is on the active roster because he was going to play shortstop until he's ready, but as I mentioned, Lowe is not ready, so he's going to be their everyday first baseman until he is. And then once that happens, he'll play everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll be in the lineup. Yeah. And so he's a guy that's got double-digit homer, double-digit stolen base capability. He's only at 5.4% roster.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're not talking about season-long. None of these guys probably may not be season-long, but to start the season, he's a dude to keep your eyes on because you can play him everywhere. He's going to be in the lineup every day to start the season. And then you can worry about it after Lowe comes back and find out where he'll play, if he'll play or whatever. But right now, he's going to be there. So he's a guy that I would look at really hard.
I like it. All right, let me give you a guy that's on a team that I have not encouraged people to go get players from, mainly because the baseball gods are against them.
Okay, I'm interested now.
Chicago Cubs third baseman. He's owned in 3% of leagues, Michael Busch. Okay. Busch is a young guy. And he has a ton of potential. Looks like he's going to get opportunity there in Chicago to play and get at bats and produce. The baseball gods are not going to pick on young guys who didn't have much a say on what team they went to. Free agents, maybe. Guys like Dansby Swanson, who chose to go to the Cubs. Guys like Cody Bellinger, who re-signed with the Cubs. Yes, the baseball gods are against them, but not Michael Busch. He's free from the curse. Don't go get him now, but keep an eye on Michael Busch. I think there's a lot of potential because the Cubs do have potential to be a really good team this year.
They do. And so, all right. So now that I know how exactly this curse works, I might be a little more amped to look at some Cubs. But the player I want to talk about is he's second base and DH. And you know that there's a pattern that's happening here. As I mentioned, I'm focusing on middle infielders, and that's Edward Julian of the Minnesota Twins. Okay, he's at 12.7% roster, and he's going to be the Minnesota Twins starting second baseman. They traded Polanco away, and so he's going to be in their lineup, and he's projected to hit 17 homers, still 12 bases. And so there's some value to be had here. He's a guy that's in our league, you've got DH, but he has to be DH qualified to slide into that spot. I'd like ESPN to do something about that, but it's not going to happen. So he's a guy that you could have in your lineup that you could slide in that DH spot if you need to. But it's going to be interesting to see how good or bad Minnesota is. I don't think they're going to be as good. But I think their lineup's going to be all right. So a guy that's 12% rostered that's starting on their team is a guy you need to take a look at.
Very nice. I'm going to transition to pitcher now.
Okay.
And head down south to Tampa. 14% owned Aaron Civale, the veteran pitcher down there. I like what he's has potential to do. I'm not going to lie. I'm very skeptical of Tampa this year. But again, he's a veteran. He's a strikeout guy. He can give you different things. I like Civale enough to say I'm going to keep an eye on probably all of Tampa's rotation, but I'm going to keep an eye on Civale and see what he adds to that rotation.
Okay, so that's a guy I was looking at, but then I saw that he has not pitched all that well in spring. So I backed off just a little bit, but I think there's a lot of value there in that pick. So the guy I'm going to go with is actually his team's opening day starter, who's at 22% rostered, and that's Josiah Gray of the Washington Nationals. And Washington, as we mentioned, is not a team that you're going to go and search for gold a whole lot. But as an opening day starter, there's some value here at 22%. But he's pitching at Cincinnati. So I'm not saying go and get him right now and put him on your roster and start him in Cincinnati. There's all kinds of, you know, landmines everywhere on this. But if he goes out on Thursday and pitches well in Cincinnati, he's a guy that you definitely want to look at because he's going to start 30 games for them. And he'll get you some maybe not win so much because he pitches for the outpost that is Washington. But, right. So I like him, maybe not so much Thursday, but going forward, I like him a lot.
So that's a really interesting pick. I like Mackenzie Gore, more than I like Gray. I have Gore on my team, actually. Is it in this league? No, it's not in this league. My dad has him in this league, drafted 252. I've got him in another league. I like Gore better than Gray, but I like Gray too. Both Gray and Gore are going to give you fantasy points, and I think especially if you get to a point where you get a guy that goes down early and you need to bring on a pitcher, look at the matchups, but generally speaking, I think Gray or Gore are solid pickups for the Nationals. They've got some real talent down there in Washington, and it's going to take them some time to put it all together. But I think both of those guys can be trusted to get you some solid fantasy points this year. I like that one a lot. Okay. Now, I can't go through a waiver wire prediction section and not talk about any Brewers. So
let's go to DL
Hall. The Milwaukee Brewers pitcher, 6.5% owned, came over in the Corbin Burns trade. He was the get as far as pitching arms go in that trade. We don't know a lot about him as far as he hasn't had a lot of major league experience. We're going to learn about him quickly. Now, how will he fare? I can't tell you that, but I can tell you he's worth keeping an eye on because he's a lefty, and he gives you something in that rotation that they don't have a lot of. He's young with potential. So I say DL Hall's a guy, again, I'm not going to go pick him up right now. I don't even have him on my roster. But he's a guy I'm definitely keeping an eye on to see what he does there in Milwaukee. Because say what you will about Milwaukee not being as good as they have been recently and probably potentially in the bottom of this division even, they have a lineup that actually has some experience to it. Willie Adames hit 3 home runs today in a spring training game. So if he shows up like he was supposed to last year,
that would be nice if he could do that. Then you add Reese Hoskins out of my mouth. That would be great.
Yelich back at it. You got guys there. If they have run support for these pitchers, they're going to be a lot better than some anticipate. So DL Hall is a great young arm to keep an eye on. And if he starts off, you know, looking good in Milwaukee, he'd be worth bringing onto your roster.
Okay. You know, it's okay to be a homer because that's where I'm going next.
Okay.
All right. And that's for the Dodgers, and I'm talking about Gavin Stone. All right. And he's at 12.6% rostered, but he has been tabbed to pitch the third game against the Cardinals on Sunday. And so he's going to be a guy after that you'll probably want to stream because he's going to be the Dodgers' probably number 5 pitcher maybe number four, but number five more than likely. But he's pitching Sunday. And at home against the Cardinals, we don't know what the Cardinals are going to have or if they're going to be as awful or good, whatever it is, but he's pitching it against them at home. I think that's a start that even somebody, you know, because we've got that 10 starts limit
right
in our league this week, of which I've got five guys on my staff that are opening day starters. So by Thursday, I'll have six guys that I've used already.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of thing that you need to strategize a little bit. But Sunday is free of that little limit. So you could start him on Sunday, and as long as you're at nine, you'll be fine. And yeah. So I like this matchup against the Cardinals at home. So at 12.6% rostered, there's a lot to like this week with Gavin Stone.
All right. The last guy I've got for you is a relief pitcher. Kevin, not only is he a relief pitcher, he's a relief pitcher for the Kansas City Royals, Kevin. And wow. Yet okay. You need to know about him.
I'm sitting down, so I'm good.
It's James McArthur, 3.6% owned, potentially in line for saves in Kansas City, definitely in line for holds. So if you have a league that gives you points for holds, they signed Will Smith in the offseason. Not the actor Will Smith, the one that went up and slapped somebody, but the pitcher Will Smith. They signed him in the offseason, thinking of him as being the saves guy. But James McArthur showed up and showed out. I think you're going to see him split save opportunities with Will Smith. You're definitely going to see him get hold opportunities. He's much younger than Will Smith. He's the future closer for the Kansas City Royals. How much has he become the closer now? Well, that's a wait and see. The only reason he's not on my roster right now is because I've got three other guys. I don't feel like I need a fourth relief pitcher. So I got him in one league. And again, he's going to get holds and potential for saves. Kansas City, again, they're not going to be, you know, lighting the world on fire. They're not going to be an 80 win
team. I like them this year.
Yeah, they're going to be up. And I think McArthur's going to be an important piece in that back end of the bullpen.
I agree with that. I think Detroit as well in that division is a team to keep your eyes on. And so I like that a lot. And but the last guy I'm going to go with pitches against your Milwaukee Brewers this Saturday coming up, and that's Luis Severino. I can't believe I'm saying this.
I can't believe this either.
I can't believe it. All right. He's 11.6% rostered. I'm not saying, once again, that I'm picking him up to start against your Brewers. However, we know what he's capable of doing, and he's pitched healthy. He's looked well in the spring. And so if he goes out and pitches well against your Brewers, and that's at home, but still, even so, if he pitches well against the Brewers, he's a guy that could be a starter that's available that you might want to look at going forward. So like I said, don't throw down the gauntlet and pick him up saying, "Hey, Kevin said start him against Milwaukee." I'm not saying that, but keep your eyes on him, because if he pitches well, he's a guy I would certainly be wanting on my team.
Intriguing. I cannot say I expected to hear that name come out in a positive sense today.
Well, you know, when we're talking fantasy, you got to go where you go and live with it.
Yeah.
Just like I got to go with Ha-Seong Kim, and I'm going to have that guy let me know all season long how much better his guy is than mine. But, hey, I did my research, and then I came up with the guy, and that's what it is. So there you go.
I like it. All right, Kev, you posted an article just recently?
Yesterday I did, because, as I said, I went because I heard that, and I think we even talked about it, that if you are an ESPN and you drafted this week, and those games against in Korea count. Well, I joined the league and ESPN for the very idea that just to see if that's true. And it is true. It's 100% true. And so I thought, well, people need to know that they're going into their draft weekend. If they draft Mr. Yamamoto, as we mentioned, and all of a sudden you look at your starting lineup and you got negative 12 fantasy points, that might cause, you know, a couple of, you know, heart murmurs throughout the land. So I didn't want that to happen. So I put out an article yesterday about that. And I also put in there, because there are only 12 starts this week in ESPN leagues, And so know that there's guys like me who have five starters, as I mentioned, starting on Thursday, that can mount up to 10 starters by Saturday, then you're locked out. Yeah. I didn't want that to happen to anybody, so I put that out yesterday. And earlier in the week, I put out, I reviewed our first round of our draft, which we did last Sunday. And so that's out there right now. So both those articles are on a Belly Up Fantasy website. And then we just found out that on Wednesday of this week, we're having our Belly Up Baseball Super Show coming out. And I said, well, sign me up to that. So I will be doing that. I'm not sure exactly what time that is yet. Maybe 8 o'clock or something. 9 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock me. Okay. So, all right. So you definitely want to check that. That's the day before opening day. And then you could be, you know, pretty sure I'll be jazzed, pretty jazzed up by Wednesday night. So you'll definitely want to check that out.
Yeah. It'll be past my bedtime, but I'll be there too. I might be in my bed. I haven't decided yet. I'm laying in bed doing this, but, no, looking forward to that for sure. That'll be on Belly Up YouTube page, Belly Up Sports YouTube page as well. And that'll be good. And of course, Kevin, you'll be doing weekly ads and drops, I assume, once the season gets rolling here, correct?
Right. And there's an article that's being processed about that very subject right now about the players, many of them that we've talked about tonight.
There you go. So make sure you're on bellyupfantasysports.com. You can, once you get on there, you can sign up for email updates and different things there, the newsletter, which is always eventful as
that's
well.
Right. I did that, and I worked for Belly Up, so
that's right.
Definitely worth it.
it's worth it. I will be live tomorrow night at 8 o'clock talking with EKU middle infielder Colby Ott, who's had a great start to his season, playing shortstop and second base, leading off, doing all kinds of things for the EKU Colonels, who just got a sweep. They swept North Alabama in conference play this weekend. So congrats to them. I'll be talking with Colby tomorrow night. And then Wednesday night, Dad and I will be back. We'll be talking March Madness, NFL Draft, Major League Baseball, all kinds of stuff. And you can watch the Sports Stove Wednesday night at 8 o'clock. And as soon as that's done, you just click the next link over to the Belly Up Sports Baseball Super Show and catch that following there as well. So
yeah, that's full night. That's where you need to have that, your jerky, your popcorn, your chosen beverage, whatever it might be, and just park yourself on Wednesday night and go to town.
There you go. I'm going to need a caffeinated beverage on Wednesday night just to to be there. I'm too old for this 9 o'clock start time stuff.
I hear that. At least, I'm not where time begins. So yeah. I'm a little behind that, 8 o'clock here, so that's not quite so bad.
Oh boy. All right. Visit SeatGeek.com. Use code BellyUpSports for $20 off. Go to RighteousFelon.com. Use code STOVE15 for 15% off your purchase. And go to BellyUpFantasySports.com for all of your fantasy needs. I just realized, Kevin, that I did not have our names displayed this whole time. You can follow Kevin at Kevin62WILSEA on Twitter. You can follow me at Sports Stove on Twitter and Instagram. And by the way, I just want to shout out two guys at Belly Up who are helping with the promotion of this show, Nico and Peter, correct? And I should look this up. Yeah. Appreciate their help in promoting. They're going to start doing some social media work for us, getting us out there on the TikTok world, which I've never once ventured onto.
I've never been on TikTok to this very second, so I would know nothing.
We are a little bit past that generation, but
yeah, I think that we're banned, just based on age discrimination from going on right.
But anyways, they're helping us out. Hopefully you'll be seeing more clips and more things around of this show as well. So I wanted to say thank you to them for helping us out as well. All right. Hey, it's baseball week. We'll get started things on Thursday. Check us out Wednesday night on Belly Up YouTube. And again, check out more of the Sports Stove throughout this week as well. Thank you for tuning into this week's edition of the Sports Stove Fantasy Baseball Show. Next week, we're talking recap results of how the week went going in. It's hard to believe that we'll be talking actual real baseball next week and looking at ads and drops for you next week as well, along with other Major League Baseball news. We did not talk about everything. Matt McClain maybe having surgery for the Reds.
Oh,
this is horrible. So anyways, we'll talk about it all next
week. one name in, Jonathan India, based on that news that you just mentioned right there, okay, is a guy you need to take a look at because McClain is out for, we don't know how long.
We don't know. And it stinks because I drafted him, but that's all right. All right. Thanks for tuning into tonight's show. We'll talk to you more next week about it all. Until then, we'll see you around the sports stove.
Have a great week.